Hey there, I'm Mark Howard, professional goalkeeper and the host of the Yours Mine Away podcast. Today I'm thrilled to share my secret with you. When I got my hands on Active Collagen, it was an absolute game changer for me. As football players, we all want to train hard, play harder and recover faster. Since rupturing my Achilles 6 years ago, I've relied on collagen supplements to help me remain injury free. After trying various brands, I found my perfect match with Uperform. Packed with two unique bioactive collagen peptides. It's the UK's number one choice for both prehab and rehab. Say goodbye to injury worries and hello to enhanced performance. Collagen is key for your muscles, your tendons and ligaments. But here's the kicker. As we age, we lose it. Uperform's active collagen doesn't just replenish. It turbocharges your natural collagen production. Simply take one gel a day. It really is that simple. And for the result, feel unbeatable and keep playing your best game on and off the pitch. I wouldn't recommend anything that I don't believe in. Uperform is a real deal. And just for you, they're offering an exclusive saving. Click the link in the description below and use code MARK20 at checkout. Join professional footballers all over the world that now take active collagen to make injuries a thing of the past and recover faster. Grab yours now and transform your game. I've got a top guest in today, someone that I've actually worked with him, played with him, played with his brother, worked with his brother. Two unbelievable geezers. Jack Anick, welcome, mate.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
You came in at Blackpool and I'd ruptured my Achilles and took my place, basically.
Yeah, no, I was just saying that. I'm 21. I've just played Premier League. Like, have you got a championship club? And he's like, no. I was like, League One? No, I don't want experience. I rang my agent. I said, I will play for free.
Yeah.
I said, honestly, I don't care. Like, as long as it's
a decent standard.
I literally went to Paul Vale and it was like next to nothing. On the bench at Newcastle, and I had a pair of Puma gloves that I had bought from Sports Direct. And he was like, the gaffer's just told me you're going to Blackpool. And I was like,
Am I?
I was like, had heard nothing about it. Next thing, I rang my agent. He's like, I know what you're in for. And he was like, Jack, I love you, keep blah, 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 but you're not going to play. And I was like,
what a save from Mark Howard. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Yours Mine Away podcast. Obviously, I'm Mark Howard. You know who I am by now, surely. I've got a top guest in today, someone that I've actually worked with him, played with him, played with his brother, worked with his brother. Two unbelievable geezers. But yeah, Jack Anick, welcome, mate.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, mate. Obviously, been trying to tee us up for a long time and that. And like I said, we've worked together at Blackpool and stuff like that. And you came in at Blackpool and I'd ruptured my Achilles and took my place, basically.
That'd be a bit awkward, but no, it was. It was a strange time because I obviously knew you were there, but I knew you were going to be out a long time.
Yeah. You got a rough deal at the end of Blackpool, mate, by the way.
Yeah, it was a strange time because I remember I was at Rangers and obviously came on loan. I think I was meant to go somewhere else. I can't remember where it was, and obviously said that you were getting injured, so I came in. I was on loan for 6 months. There was a contract put in front of us saying they were ready to sign. Sign permanent. And then next thing, I think I'd done my bicep in the December on Boxing Day. And then next thing, they're like, oh, the contract's still there. Next day, Chris Maxwell turned up. And obviously after that was COVID, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Where no one knew what was happening, didn't hear anything. And then Maxi signed a permanent. And yeah, that was, it was a strange time, but I loved my time at Blackpool. Even though we knew you were coming back and stuff, like
we had a leg stress, didn't we?
It was brilliant. It was like, we were training at Squires Gate, weren't we? We were travelling together, cleaning our own kit and stuff. But I thought it was brilliant. We had a great dressing room, and like, I think because me and you kind of like knew each other's careers and stuff like that, it was like we trained together a little bit, didn't we?
Yeah.
It was brilliant. With Banksy.
Oh, Banksy, mate, the Marine. What is warm ups when he just takes off?
Honestly, it is the fastest jog round the pitch I've ever done in my life. It's like you think, all right, we'll just get into it first day. He was like, bang, gone. They keep up, boys. I was thinking, I can't even sprint that fast.
It was so funny. I just remember, obviously, when I started to come back and Banksy would do his one lap sprint.
Yeah.
And then like me and you look at each other. We had Chris Mufambi and Miles Bowman just going, oh my God, what is going on here?
Yeah. Because then he used to go into the footwork afterwards. Yeah, remember that one?
Oh,
we'd done it was behind the goal. It was over about 18 yards, wasn't it?
18 yards worth of fast feet.
And I'm not kidding. Like, how bad were your legs after that? But nah, for Banksy, he was great. He was like, he's one of them that worked it hard, didn't he? But
he did,
it was like he knew what he was talking about. But we had a good group there. It was such a different group, wasn't it? Like You got the older experience. I was on loan.
So yeah, me, Fiennes and Spiro.
Yeah, and even like Chris was so laid back. Yeah. You know what he was like. Oh, yeah. And then Miles was like in that transition period, wasn't he, where he's coming through and stuff like that. But yeah, it was...
Little Jack Sims as well, Christ. Yeah. He had a good little group. It was a funny group.
Yeah, no, it was... Blackpool was like a great time for me. It was like an experience. It was obviously close to North, stuff like that. And yeah, just trying to get out and play games. Yeah. But then obviously, I think it stopped. That was when COVID stopped, wasn't it? So I got injured.
February, March time, wasn't it?
March, I remember I'd done my bicep in December. I literally came back that day and then all the games cancelled on Saturday. And then obviously I was out of contract with Rangers at the end of that season. So yeah it was a strange time, but I love Blackpool.
That was class. Right, I wanted to mention obviously your brother, Ben.
Yeah.
Obviously I played with Ben at Bolton and that. And how's he getting on now?
No, he's good. He's enjoying retired life, family, stuff like that. So no, he's doing well.
Yeah, retired far too early. Ben was some goalie, mate. Apart from his goal kicks where he used to scrape his knee along the floor. You got similar tackles as well, haven't you?
It's weird. I don't know subconsciously whether I've picked it up off him, but everyone used to say the same thing, but you don't realise you're kind of doing it. Obviously, you don't have to kick as many long nowadays, have to do that. But no, he definitely retired early, but I think... He started early as well, so he went to Tottenham when he was 18, spent a long time down there. So he was kind of playing from that age, and he could have kept on going, but like as you've seen with some people, like even Fozzy could have went to Newcastle.
Yeah,
they just say when you're done, you're done. Do you know what I mean? So he had just kind of thought, it's time now, which was we'll say it's way too early because he's still,
one of the best head tennis players as well I've ever
seen. Yeah, he keeps mentioning it. He said he should be playing the World Championship.
He actually should be, mate. He had some mad hip flexors that he would actually put his foot over the other side of the net and then play a drop shot from the other side. Bizarre, mate.
Yeah, because I taught him, because I get told all the stories about my brother, but I don't actually know, because I know him. I know my brother, but
you
have played with him. I worked with him a little bit at Peterborough when I went and trained with him for a little bit, but not much. But he keeps on saying, like, every time I say about head tennis and training, he's like, you'd never beat me. And I'm like, no, I'm a joke as well. And he's like, no, but you've never beaten us. Like, he swears that no one ever in football will beat him.
He was good. Yeah. He had my number at head tennis. I'll give him that. But he couldn't beat me at foot golf.
Yeah.
Me and Butts used to tag team up on him on foot golf. He was horrendous at that.
Angriest man ever isn't
just,
he?
He'd boot the ball away, like, just that anger. Yeah. Class. Right, obviously, before we get into it, I'm going to do a couple of quick fire questions.
Yeah.
Catch or parry?
Catch, all day.
That was a hesitation.
It was a stutter because I think
The game's changed now.
Yeah, I always try to catch everything, but then I'm one of them that, like, how many do you actually catch in a game?
You don't, do you?
I was going to say, I think I even watched the Premier League and stuff, and I think De Gea used to be brilliant at it, where you'd pluck one, you go, oh my God. Like, people don't realise it because most would just bash it and stuff like that. So the game is so different now where I think. Yeah. I'm edging towards parry, but I think I'm one of them that likes to be neat and tidy in training.
Yeah.
So I'm one of them that doesn't want to drop a volley, doesn't even want to two-touch a volley and stuff like that.
See, Asmi was on the show recently, and he said that he'll do actual training sessions the whole day where he don't catch it on purpose. He'll parry, practice parrying.
Yeah.
Because in a game, you do it majority of the time. I was like, makes so much sense.
Yeah, it does. Because, I mean, what would you catch in a game? One, maybe?
Unless, like, just straight at you.
Yeah.
Nice, so, tidy ones.
Yeah, I'd definitely be catching training, but I do try and, like, caution. If there is a wobble in training, I do just
bat it away
and stuff like that. But, yeah, I'd go catch.
Right, tea or coffee?
I'm coffee, yeah.
Even he just had a tea?
Yeah, oh, I've just had a tea. That's because I've had two coffees on my way up here.
Fucking nut and coffee.
Yeah.
Right, play short, kick it long?
Play short.
Yeah.
But... the whole playing out thing now, I love it, and I love playing out, but I do also like I think people go away from playing out, it's still zinging one in your front man.
It's so good, isn't it? That feeling of just finding someone like, 70 yards up the pitch.
Yeah, even like sometimes like if you zing one on over a fullback and he flicks out for a throw-in up in their half, you're like, oh, what a kick.
Yeah,
it's weird, isn't it? But like people will see that as a, that weren't a great...
incomplete pass.
Yeah, which I mean, it'll go down against your stats and all that, do you know what I mean? But... No, I think it's one of them kicks that you put teams under pressure and stuff. So I do like the playing outside, but you see what Edison and stuff like
that. Got to do both.
Sometimes his best kicks where he zings it and someone runs through one-on-one. 100%. So it's still playing out, but yeah, I still like the little clip to the fullback and stuff like that. It's so nice when it lands on his chest, isn't it?
Yeah, when you actually pull off the little zinger.
Yeah.
Right,
who's
your favourite ever goalkeeper?
Do you know what it is? I was Casillas, as in, like, I used to watch him. Love he was that. A lefty as well, wasn't he? agile and stuff like that. But
he's before your time.
He was, yeah, but it was kind of like, because my brother was obviously older and it was around, more around his time and stuff like that. And then weirdly, obviously one of your mates, it was Fozzy as well.
Yeah.
Because I think it was, I'm trying to think who the goalie coach was at the time. He said, model yourself on someone. And he was like, you're quick, you're agile, you're left-footed.
Makes sense.
And Fozzy was one of them. At the time, he used to make so many saves. And like, you know what he's like.
Yeah.
So I used to watch a lot of him. Yeah. Weirdly, because there wasn't that many left-footed goalkeepers. Yeah. Who were like springy and kind of used to sprint around the goal like a madman, yeah. Do you know what I mean? But
agile as.
Yeah, so I think
Fozzy's got a mad stat, you know. It's like he's let in the most goals in Premier League history, but he's also made the most saves in Premier League history.
Yeah, it's
you
weird.
You can see it, like.
Because I look at the Wes Foddering one at the minute, and like, obviously they're under the caution, yeah. He's under pressure, but he's also made the most saves in the Premier League. So it is, it's stats can be unbelievable, but they can also be terrible, yeah. When you're not doing that bad. But no, Fozzy was one that I used to love watching, and I think that was one of the best bits of advice, is like, model yourself on somebody who like is relatable to you,
because 100%.
I think we're all different body types, we've all got different power, we've all got different technical attributes. I think that was one of the best things, where instead of me going and watching, I don't know, like an Allison, he might be completely different to me. I think you pick someone, whichever level it is, and go, that's what I want to model on. Yeah. And yeah, it was Ben Foster at the time.
Ledge that. Good shout. Right. Yeah. Who's the best keeper in the world right now?
I think you'd probably have to go with Alisson. Obviously, I know Courtois has been out injured and stuff like that. So I think Alisson's all-round games.
Just a joke, isn't he?
You'd probably say Edison's got better distribution. Pope, he's better at coming for crosses, but all around, if you add it all together, I think he's got to be the best.
Yeah. Right, movie or box set?
Probably movies at the minute.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Right, and then finally, right, it's the last minute of a game. You can either save a penalty to win the game, or you can go up and score the winning goal.
Score all day.
100%, Jack.
Yeah, I think it's one of them. You're always like...
Dream of it, don't you?
Have you ever been in a game before where it's like... where you're losing and you wanted to get to the 90th minute so you can go up.
And you're like looking at the manager going,
yeah.
Can I go? Yeah. You're just waiting for that little one. Go on.
Yeah.
Then.
But then I've been up a few times, the jog up the pitch, how awkward is it?
It's weird, mate.
You feel like you're like jogging up, you're like looking around, you think I'm running a bit weird, and like you don't know where to stand once you get up there, do you? It's so weird.
It's just a distraction, though. People mark you and you're like, what's he doing? Yeah. Why are you standing next to me?
It is so uncomfortable, isn't it? But yeah, if you score a winner or an equaliser or something like that, it's something that
you're immortal,
how many goalkeepers have done it, do you know what I mean?
You're absolutely immortal.
Yeah, man. So yeah, definitely.
Has to be. Yeah. Right, let's go back to the start of being a goalkeeper then. Yeah. Obviously, we're going to talk about your brother a little bit in this, but like, why goalkeeping?
Basically, my brother. So because he used to play in goal, it was like when he used to come home, he was like getting that net. Now I'm smashing a few balls at you. Do you know what I mean? And it was one of them when I was younger, I was just bigger than everyone. And I used to play outfield a bit and stuff like that, which I think every goalie did.
Failed footballers, didn't we?
Yeah, basically. I think I was in middle school at the time and I was a goalkeeper. I'm trying to think what age I'll have been, but I was at Sunderland. But then Newcastle came in and do like the football in the community. So I played outfield and they were like, oh, we want to bring you on trial as a striker. And I was like, nah, I'm actually a goalie for Sunderland. They were like, no, you're not. They were like, you're a striker. And I was like, nah. But I think as well, like, you know what's like with young football? Like, because I used to be able to kick it a mile when I was younger.
Yeah.
I used to score from like goal kicks. Yeah. And like, so I still used to have that little bit of like, I used to be a top goal scorer at times because I used to take free kicks from the halfway line and everything, didn't you?
Just shoot everywhere.
Score, yeah. So yeah, that was the start of it. My brother kind of, we used to play around, but he obviously, because he was a goalie, he used to want me in goal and stuff like that. Obviously, I used to go and watch him at Sunderland and stuff. So I think it was quite natural for me to kind of go into it, but weirdly, my dad was nothing to do with football. He was rugby and kickboxing and stuff like that, and it was so weird that we both...
Actually, I was going to talk about your dad at some point.
Yeah.
The most imposing man I've ever seen stare at a warm-up, mate. It's mental.
Honestly.
He did it for your brother at Bolton. He did it for you at Blackpool.
Yeah.
Every time like we'd be doing a warm-up, you'd look in the stand and like your old fella was just there staring down. I was like, I don't know if I'm meant to be doing this right or if he's meant to be doing this right.
Do you know what it is? He doesn't actually put that much pressure on you. He just loves like coming, even just watching the warm-up. He's there. I mean, my brother will tell you how many miles he's done like over the years. It was quite good when my brother was at Bolton, I was at Blackpool. or I was at Simper, and at the time it was like he'd pick the closest one.
Yeah.
Or he'd pick like the cheapest train ticket, yeah, like, whoever he'd get through or something like that. But he tried to obviously even it out. But no, he used to be there from minute one and stuff like that. But
it's class,
yeah,
mate.
He was imposing. He's got that stance, hasn't he?
He had always had his hands in his pockets, yeah, and he never acknowledged you. And I was like, that's your son. Like,
yeah,
you're gonna give it a little. And it was nothing, mate. Just stone cold.
Yeah, big bald head, stun the style.
Class, mate.
Like, hooligan, yeah. No, he used to love it.
It was class, mate. So obviously it's easier to relate to, but your brother came through really young at Sunderland. Was you at Sunderland at that point, or had you already moved to Newcastle?
Yeah, so I was at Sunderland at the time.
Yeah.
I only left Sunderland when my brother had left and I was 15 year old.
Was there more pressure on, obviously, because your brother come through the system, yeah, almost, and he would have just been breaking into the first team, wouldn't he?
Yeah, so he broke in, played, and then obviously he moved to Tottenham when he was 19.
Yep.
And it wasn't so much a pressure, it was almost like, you know, my brother's like, as a character, he's lively, and we were like, we didn't want me to be tarnished with anything because of what he had done or compared to him and stuff, yep, like that. And ultimately Newcastle was closer as well for the family, like, they used to put some miles in. My dad would finish work, take me, spend to Sunderland, come back, take me and stuff like that. So it just made sense. And at the time, Newcastle probably had the better academy and stuff, yeah, like that. So I wouldn't have said there was more pressure, but I think ultimately you're always going to get looked at like your brother, do you know what I mean? Because he was there,
yeah,
at the time.
Yeah, he's always going to draw comparisons. Or...
yeah, of course. But it was... no, Sunderland was brilliant, I remember, because Pickford was the year below me as well, wasn't he? And I remember he had an injury, and it was Tim Carr at the time. He was like, oh, Jack, can you go and perform? Like, he had knee injuries. Like, can you, like, almost teach him how to dive again? I was like, what do you mean? He's like, he can't collapse his knee. And like, so it was like, I was weirdly streets ahead of him. But like, you look at him now, it's so weird how it goes
crazy
from that to...
he might have been modelling himself on you then, lefty, yeah, similar build.
Yeah, I know. It is. It's so strange that he was kind of, they weren't sure whether to keep him or not. He had these injuries, and then... yeah.
Loan moves really looked after him.
Yeah,
but obviously, you end up going to Newcastle, and yeah, you broke in quite soon.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you see, again, like, the talent factory up in the north is mad, yeah, actually, when, yeah, you think about, especially the level of goalkeepers that they have produced.
Yeah. I think it's because, obviously, you have Newcastle, Sunderland, Middlesbrough, and then you've just got a big gap down the country, don't
true
you? So you get the best of the bunch up that way. Even late times from Scotland, people coming down and that. But yeah, it was weird. I obviously went to Newcastle, I broke in. I think I was 21 year old. Made my debut coming out of half time against Chelsea and stuff. It was
Rob Elliott come off injured, and then you go on and make your Prem debut.
Yeah, it was so strange at Newcastle because I'd never been out on loan, and it was weird. I went on a pre season to New Zealand with the first team, and Andy Woodman said, "Oh, you've killed yourself here." And I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "You've been that good. You're gonna be third choice next season." And I was like, that's brilliant, like, do you,
yeah,
know what I mean?
Buzzing.
Yeah, I was like, that's what I wanted, do you know what I mean? Because I think it was Tim Krul and Rob Elliott at the time, and he said, like, the gaffer said, like, he trusts you that much, like, you've done that well. And I was like, but why is that bad? And he's like, because you're not going out on loan, sort of thing. And I was like, when you're young, you're like, I don't care, I'm at Newcastle, like, whatever, do you know what I mean? And, yeah, it ended up, like, ultimately being a really good thing because I ended up playing for Newcastle, but also really bad because I didn't play till 21. I'd never played before.
You hadn't had many games.
Yeah,
really, yeah.
I think I had 6 games out on loan at Gateshead or something like that, yep, when I was 18. And then it was almost just like reserve football, just training with the first team and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden you get thrown in. It's kind of like, I've not really kicked the men's football, do you know what I mean? And
yeah, yeah.
20, 21 years
old. Playing under the pressure of fans and stuff. Obviously,
yeah,
Newcastle fan base is notoriously unbelievable.
Yeah.
The pressure that involves as a young goalkeeper.
Yeah, and I think it was like my debut I'd done brilliant, came on at half-time. It's weird because I kind of half knew I was going to play. I remember Tim Dunne's shoulder was out for quite a while. Rob had been complaining of his quad for like 3-4 games, scanned it, nothing. And I remember it was a kick before half-time, just quad gone. And like I sat there on the bench and I was like, he's not getting up. And it was like I had half-time where I didn't know whether to warm up, I didn't,
yeah,
know whether...
yeah.
But
it's
like,
the worst feeling in the world, that.
Yeah. Do you know what it is? It's weird. Like, even Championship now, like last season when I was on the bench, I was more nervous than I was playing in the games.
Yep.
It's so weird,
yeah,
isn't it? Because you can never come on in a good situation, really.
You're not prepared to come on. As a goalie, you're not warming up on the side catching volleys and doing crosses, are you?
No, and you can run down the line and give it all this, but it's not going to do anything, is it? Like stretching your shoulder and all that. But yeah, I think I had half time to warm up. Alan Pardew and Woody were great, and they were like, got nothing to lose. And I was out of contract at the... So that was in the December, January time. I was out of contract that summer at Newcastle. And I think it was Pardew who said, like, time to make yourself a millionaire or something like that. It was something, and I was thinking...
Little tongue-in-cheek comment.
Yeah, because it is. If you're 21-year-old goalkeeper out of contract in the summer, playing in the Premier League, you go and do well.
Like, world's your oyster, isn't
it? Yeah, you could be anything. But yeah, it was obviously I'd done brilliant against Chelsea. We beat them 2-1 at home.
Incredible.
And then it's weird. I think I played 6 or 7 games. It was what you'd expect from a 21-year-old goalkeeper who's never played.
and then start to plateau a little bit.
It was. Like, brilliant Chelsea. Yeah. And then I think I played in the cup quarterfinal against Tottenham away, had a beast.
Yeah.
And then I played in Newcastle Sunderland Derby, had a really good game, but got beat 1-0. And then, yeah, I had another poorish game and then another good game, which is what you'd expect 100%. From someone.
It's the emotional roller coaster, isn't it? Like you have the high of making your debut and doing well, and then you're like the come down. It's harder to then go again.
Yeah.
And like you're going to have a dip before you go back up.
Yeah. And I remember I'd done my shoulder in the Tottenham game away. I landed awkwardly, and I remember like, the day before Sunderland, I was like, the pain was like, I shouldn't even have played, do you know what I mean? But I was like, I'm in this team, like, I could have a broken leg and I'm not coming out of this team, do you know what I mean? But yeah, it was, so I got through the games and stuff like that, but it was, I think if I'd have been 21 playing in League 2, League 1, Conference, something like that, like, if you do, like, make a tiny little mistake or, like, a tiny little technical error, you kind of can get away with certain things.
100%.
Whereas there, it was kind of like, I think I came for a cross against Tottenham and it just slipped out, dropped down, and I went to fall and bang, goal. And I was like, in other leagues, you might just get away with it and stuff like that, but it was...
You're not seeing it on Match of the Day either.
No, well, that's the thing, especially when you're young, like you're watching every single highlight, stuff like that. And at the time, it was tough. But then picked myself up for the derby again, done brilliantly. So yeah, it was high, low, but then... Obviously, that I think after that I went on loan to Bradford for
to
one
Bradford
game.
For one game, yeah, I've read that.
Yeah, it was weird because it was Parky at the time, who obviously you know really well, and Ben Williams was at the time. I went on loan for one game played, but then they were doing that. They had a good FA Cup run, didn't they? And then they had an FA Cup game. I think it was midweek. I think Ben done all right, and then Parky said, "Oh yeah, Ben's playing." I was like, "I thought I came on loan to play." Do you know what I mean? And then I ended up doing my wrist straight away and it was back to Newcastle, but I was out of contract that summer. And that summer I literally had no clubs.
Yeah. It's crazy that situation of you've gone from playing in the Premier League and doing well, obviously intermittently, like you're saying, like a bit of form, it's difficult at that age, but then to, at the end of a season, have nothing.
Yeah. It was so weird because I was speaking to my agent at the time and I was like, I'm 21, I've just played Premier League. Like, have you got a Championship club? And he's like, nah. I was like, League One? Nah, they want experience. Like, I think it was at the time, like, I think even someone like Accrington took someone like Brian Jensen or something who was like 40. Like, do you know what I mean? But it was like, he's got no experience. And I was sitting there thinking, I went on trial at Leeds and in Motherwell.
Yeah.
Leeds done really well. It was like pre-season type thing. And they said, oh, we're not giving you a contract because you got beaten the running by the other goalkeepers. And I was like, but I was like, yeah, but I'm a goalkeeper. And I was like, how many goals did I concede this week? And I was like, I'll tell you, none. And it was like, yeah, it was just, I think Leeds were going through that sort of transition period and then Turnbull ended up signing. So I don't know if that was in the works while I was on trial.
I was going to say, he didn't beat you in the running, surely.
Yeah, no, he signed after me. Motherwell went up there, was training, doing really well. Next thing, Conor Ripley turned up and I was like, you're right, mate. Like, I knew him. And I was like, what are you doing? Yeah, he's like, oh, I've just signed on loan. I was like, what? Like, it was such a weird time that I was like, how can I go from the highs of playing the Premier League so young to literally have nothing? And the only way I got into Port Vale, my best mate at the time, he was playing for Port Vale, and Chris Neal was out injured, and they had two lads that were mix and match in pre-season. One was Ryan Boot and one was Sam Johnson. Not Sam Johnson, played for West Brom Palace. And they both struggled, and he went and seen the manager. He's like, oh, Jack's free. He's like, what do you mean he's free? So he hasn't got a club. And I signed for Port Vale on the Friday and played on the Saturday.
No way, yeah. Just from someone else putting a word in.
Yeah.
That would have been quite late then, after pre-season. See, yeah. Look, going, yeah. I've done it a few times now, but going through pre-season, not having a club, it's minging, isn't it?
It's scary because me and you have probably seen so many people fall out the game.
100%.
And you kind of get to that stage where you start to panic a little bit, and then you get people saying, oh, don't worry, there'll be an injury in the first couple of games, or there'll be a send-off or whatever, and someone will take you. And it never, ever happens.
No, it doesn't, no.
It's one of them things as well, like, people might want to take you, but then they go, oh, like, where's he been training? Nowhere.
When like, you're watching the results on a Saturday, hoping for an injury, and you're actually looking through the results, going, any goalkeepers get subbed off.
Yeah.
And it's, like, I've been there a couple of times, and it's a dark place.
Yeah.
Because on a Saturday, like, I've done it when I've had kids, and I'm like, this is mental that I'm actually doing this, and I'm not like giving my kids the time, because I'm thinking,
oh yeah.
But like I've trained with other clubs through pre-season just to stay fit and be ready. And lucky enough, it like you end up something comes out of nowhere. Yeah. But like the Port Vale one of your mate just putting your name in and it works out. And
if it wasn't that, like you don't know what it could have been. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, it was scary. But like you say, I've done it at times where you're not playing somewhere and you're allowed to leave, or you haven't got a club, you're literally on like on the BBC app, like you're clicking line up and you're like, he stayed on. Like it is, you look at like the standard that you picture yourself in and you see if any goalkeepers have came off, if any have came off, you're like, you're Googling their name, like how long they're out for and stuff like that. It is, it's such a strange position. And I think only us would do that.
Yeah, 100%. So obviously going to Port Vale, you end up going to Port Vale and playing literally like every game that season. Yeah. I think you actually got young player of the season as well that first year.
Yeah.
Like obviously do you think that drove you, that little bit of a scare early on in your career of like not having anything to then going in and establishing yourself straight away and playing every game?
Yeah, and it was almost like I went there because I rang my agent and I said, I will play for free.
Yeah.
I said, honestly, I don't care. Like, as long as it's like a decent standard, I'll play. And I literally went to Port Vale and it was like next to nothing. But I was like, I need to go and back myself to get them games, and then sort of money will come or whatever will come. I just need to play them games. And I think I just went with a bit between my teeth of like, this is it now. You have to do well or what could happen sort of thing. And I think I just like dug in real deep, and it was a brilliant time for us. It was a perfect type of club.
World's biggest pitch as well.
Yeah, which it was good for a goalkeeper because you could spray passes about, and also like
crosses were coming in, but you had more gaps.
Yeah, and I think like it was one of them that there weren't ever a great game at Port Vale, so you didn't always have loads to do, do you know what I mean? Apart from like when you got like Chef U coming and stuff like that. And I think as well at the time, the type of manager I had in Rob Page, who's obviously now Wales manager, and the goalkeeping coach, Dave Timmins. It was almost like I needed people like that at the time.
Yeah.
Because Timo was, you were
I've Timo, worked with Timo yeah. yeah.
And he was great for me. Anything I wanted after a game.
He's got Tourette's as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's absolutely crazy. But like, I think I kind of needed that at the time. I didn't need to really be... I needed to be coached a little bit, but it was almost like I needed someone to manage me because where I've been to there.
Treat you like an adult and let you crack on.
Yeah, and then Rob Page was exactly the same. He had just finished playing, knew I was a young goalkeeper at the time, and he just said, you're going to just keep playing and keep playing. He's like, anytime there's a chance to move you on, like you can go sort of thing. And he was amazing for us. So I think that I couldn't have picked a better club at the time. I love my time there.
Yeah. Obviously, the season after, you actually got named captain as well.
Yeah.
So, like, to go from, like we're saying, like, being out of contract.
Yeah.
A mate put in a good word. You get player of the season, then you get named captain, and you're still only 22.
Yeah.
Madness, that.
Yeah, it changed so quick because it was weird, even when I got named captain. So we had a Portuguese manager come in, and I loved him, Bruno Ribeiro. He used to play for Leeds, I think. Yeah. We had a goalkeeping coach who didn't speak a word of English, whose sessions were like, I've never seen anything like it. But, and then they signed a Portuguese goalkeeper, and I was like, I'm done. Even though I had done so well the season before, you know what it's like. Sometimes they bring their mates over or whatever it might be. And he calls in, he said, oh, we've got three captains, and he wanted me to be one. I was like, I'm only 22. And I was like, this is like, it was worth giving up. Like at the start, where I was like, I'll play for no money, whatever it might be, to get to that. And I knew I was so close to having another good year or 6 months or whatever it might be to get in a decent sort of move. But yeah, it was like that grew. I grew up quickly with that. Obviously, I'd moved away from home, which I'd never really done before, and also like made captain and stuff at such a young age. It almost made us grow up because I'd been so sheltered being at Newcastle Academy. To then being, I'm in England youth teams. Like, you're almost like kind of the big I am at that age. Almost like you're at Port Vale.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I knew
this is real football now.
Yeah. And no, it was one of them places that I was at where it was just game by game. I knew I was going to do well. And you know what it's like when you're confident, you feel like you can save everything.
It's one of them that when you get the confidence of knowing that you're playing the week after.
Yeah.
You're not fearful of mistakes.
No.
So you can go out and express yourself and you'll make more saves, you'll come for more crosses, you'll kick the ball better because you've not got that monkey on your back going, if you make a mistake, you're not playing next week.
Yeah. And I think it does. I think that's what a lot of people don't realise in football, that like everything's confidence. And I think you can say this goalkeeper's better than that goalkeeper, but sometimes it's not. It's like they're more confident than them at the minute. Do you know what I mean?
On the day.
Yeah. Like, are we saying Onana's a terrible goalkeeper? No, he's just low on confidence. Yeah. But if you look at every attribute he's got, he's probably one of the best, the most powerful
distribution.
It's just the, when starting you go through a little bit of a bad spell, you know what it's like. So yeah, I think then I knew I was going to play like every single game. So I almost kind of, you just go in so relaxed. Yeah. Like you'll come for a cross 10 yards out because you think, even if I drop it, like I'm going to play. And we had a good squad around there, all the lads, stuff like that. We had a great laugh. And then after every game on a Saturday, I used to drive back up to Newcastle, like, because I was with Remy Street at the time. He was my mate, who was from Newcastle. We used to drive to Newcastle a couple of hours, have a little night out, and then we went back on the Sunday night. But no, it was a great time of my life.
And then obviously in the January, then you end up moving to Rangers, didn't you?
Yeah. I actually remember the game. So my agent rang us and said, oh, Rangers are having a little look at you and stuff like that. And then we played Oldham away. And I remember it so clear because my agent, they never normally do this at the time. He rang me and he said, Frank McParland, I think he's called it, is coming to the game. And I was like, all right. And I had the biggest worldie ever against Oldham away.
Nice.
I think it was 0-0 or something like that. And he rang straight after the game, we want to get the deal done. And then I ended up doing my ankle. I think it was in training or something, like a couple of days later. Oh, we had an FA Cup game or it was something like that. I'd done my ankle. And I think it was like a grade 2 something. They were like, oh, it's 4 or 6 weeks. And I'm thinking, well, it's 2 weeks till the end of the window. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
So I came back within 2 weeks just to kind of push the move through.
Yeah,
because I knew it was time. Do you know what I mean? I had to like...
But also you'd taken the hit and the money. And then you're like, well, I've done as much as I can possibly do at Port Vale. I need to go back out now and push myself on again.
Yeah. And I mean, when Rangers come calling, there's no bigger clubs, massive. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't refuse to go there, do you know what I mean? And I thought I could keep playing till the end of the season, I'm out of contract, I could maybe go somewhere else. And I was like, I'm not going to even take the risk of that, like, especially when a club like that came in. But yeah, I remember it was just kind of get up to Glasgow, but I had a buyout clause in my contract or something like that. So it was like...
Done behind the scenes.
Yeah, it was logistics and got up there and I was like, yeah, this is the one.
So you were obviously going up there, going from playing and being a captain to then being told you're going to compete with Wes.
Yeah.
Like, that's a different mental switch you have to turn on, isn't it? To be able to turn up and accept that's the situation.
Yeah, I think at the time, I spoke to Mark Warburton, who was the manager at the time, and he said, listen, Wes is struggling a little bit. Come up here, he says, and you're going to play, but you are going to fight it out and stuff. And I thought, that's no problem whatsoever. Obviously, leaving Port Vale, I was so confident. I was captain, like you say.
Yeah.
You kind of think you could put the best goalkeeper in the world in front of me and it doesn't really matter. And then I got up there and Warburton, I don't know if he left or was sacked 2 weeks later. And I was like, you couldn't write it. Do you know what I mean? A manager that's wanted me at the club has gone within like 2 weeks. And then, we obviously had a lot of manager changes up there. But no, it was a great fight between me and Wes, kind of. Yeah. But obviously, you know, it's like when you have a lot of manager changes, it's kind of like they go with what they know, who's been playing.
Or kind of before the experience, one that's been playing or has more appearances.
Yeah. So it was difficult because I felt like I was training really well. But because Rangers is such a big club, like it can eat a goalkeeper up, especially. Yeah. And I think at times they were trying to protect me because I hadn't really played. But then also, yeah, I was just like, it was so frustrating Then once one manager getting in for a little bit, you think, oh, he might stick me in. Yeah, he then left, and it was so tough. But honestly, I couldn't speak a bad word about that club.
See, like when a new manager comes in, you go, right, I'm gonna have a
You
mentally have a little charge up yourself. You're like, this is the one. This is the one that's gonna pay me, isn't it? Don't you?
Yeah, it's just
and then
that
like, after
leash.
The first week, you're like, I've trained unbelievable.
Yeah.
Saturday comes, you're like, when you're not in the team, you go, oh,
clean sheet.
Yeah, cheers. And they have nothing to do in the game. Yeah. They keep a clean sheet. You're like, it's just typical.
Yeah, always the same. And I remember we had a Portuguese manager came in, Pedro Cachini at the time, and he was like, Jack, I love you as a goalkeeper, blah, blah, but you're not going to play. And I was like, he's like, I think you're better than Wes, but Wes is going to play Saturday. And I was like, what? Do you know what I mean? But it's weird because I kind of went from Newcastle to Port Vale to then another big
club. Yeah.
But it was, it was a great time. It was a tough time, but I was still trying to pave my way in the game sort of thing. And I thought that was the next step. But if I probably look back, I wouldn't take my Rangers time back at all. But I was thinking if I had just stayed at Port Vale another 6 months, like what could have happened from there? But no, it was...
That's easy in hindsight.
But yeah, everything is, yeah.
Even like that, the frustrations of being in and out of a team or not playing at Rangers, and then you go out on loan to Scunthorpe and to Blackpool and you get the game time that you feel like you deserve.
Yeah.
And like, obviously, that's the tough times are what make you a stronger person.
Yeah, definitely.
So like, then you go out on loan and you get the game time, and then you're then treated like, oh, he's nice, he's an established player. He's got over 100 appearances now. He's got 150 appearances.
Yeah.
And you get treated differently, don't you, when you walk in the dressing room.
Yeah, I think... You kind of want to get to 100. Everyone says they don't know. 100 league games.
Race to 100.
And once you've got that, whatever standard it's at, you can make a career off 100 appearances.
100%.
And that was me at Rangers. I remember I was meant to go on loan to Barnsley at the time. And Barnsley were waiting to get the deal done. And I think they had Adam Davies, who was moving on. And Rangers couldn't quite do it at that time. They didn't know what they were doing. And then... Barnsley were like, listen, we can't wait that late, and they pulled out.
Yep.
Barnsley ended up getting promoted that season.
Oh, typical.
And I went on, I was like, who needs a goalkeeper? And last minute it was Scunthorpe. And I was like, well, Scunthorpe were in the playoffs last season.
Yep.
Great club, like,
yep.
Go and play some football, stuff like that. And I ended up going to Scunthorpe and getting relegated.
Oh, it's typical, isn't it?
But it was, do you know what it is? We did get relegated, but it was a great experience for me.
Yeah,
I think it was the first. I was travelling to Scunthorpe. We had Tony McMahon and Lee Novak was my car school.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. You might have. Have you played with both of them?
I've played with Tony McMahon. I haven't played with Novak, but I know a few stories.
Like. Yeah, it was like two experienced pro. Like when we say wild Tony McMahon, like he is like
the most
a young
person.
Kid, like in a dressing room. Like he was like the oldest, but I would act like a little kid in the dressing room. But like. Yeah, I was travelling in with them too, like every day. So that was a new experience of like travelling to Scunthorpe, like every other day, stuff like that. And then the relegation thing, obviously it wasn't as hard for me because I was still on loan. I still had a year left at Rangers, I think I had. Yeah. So it wasn't tough, but like that season it was like, I'd love to know how many deflections went in. Like,
just the luck.
It was just one of them seasons where I was doing well, but like two deflections would go in a game or stuff like that. But you learn from stuff like that. Yeah. Like when I watch back like games against Scunthorpe, and like when I played for Scunthorpe and stuff like that, I think like stuff you'd do differently and stuff like that. But it was great for me at the time because it's almost like, right, this is real. Like, sort of thing.
People's jobs were on the line and
it's
more.
Weird because I didn't at Newcastle it was like I'm just trying to get in the team. I went to Port Vale and it was almost like I wasn't worried about winning at Port Vale. I needed to do well for myself sort of thing. Rangers, you have like the big club, but then Scunthorpe when I got relegated I was like, oh, this is actually real. I mean it wasn't until that point where I was like, my mate who was Lee Novak who was signed at the club, he was like sat on the bus like devastated and stuff like that. I was like, this is actually real, and it took to that point for me to realise it, do you know what I mean? And then obviously the next one was Blackpool after that, and I feel like the Scunthorpe one, although it was a real low, it was really good
matured
for me.
Matured you as a person.
Yeah, and then I remember because Stephen Gerrard had getting the, I think, yeah, he had gotten the job up at Rangers, and I had played a full season for Scunthorpe. And he rang me, he was like, "You're not done." I was like, "Oh, I'm ready to go like on holiday." And he was like, "No, I want to see you play in a game." I'm thinking, I've played 40-odd games, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He says, "No, we're playing against Chelsea 23s at Rangers at Ibrox." And I was like, "Do you know what you're like? Oh, God, like, you know what them games are like, don't you?"
You're half on holiday, aren't you?
Yeah. And I remember, I went up, I had a worldie. It was like one of the best games I've ever had. Because you relax now.
Yeah.
I thought, I've been on loan like playing men's football, like playing against like young lads, a little Chelsea, they were a joke. Done really well. And yeah, Gerard had kind of said to me, like, "Listen, we're bringing in Al McGregor, but Wes is going. I want to give you a new contract. I want you to, it's going to be you and Al McGregor. He's not going to be able to play every single game." Yeah. And then, yeah, they couldn't get rid of Wes. And I ended up, I remember Wes went up for a meeting with Steven Gerrard, and he came down, he's like, it was almost like both of us wanted to leave for like separate reasons. Yep. Like, I obviously wanted to go and play football, but I wasn't pushing because I knew I was getting a new contract at Rangers. Wes was trying to leave because Greigsy had came in and he had been playing a lot of games at Rangers, and they couldn't get rid of Wes, and Wes came down and was like, "You've beat me to the punch." And I was like, "What do you mean?" And he was like, "The gaffers just told me you're going to Blackpool." And I was like,
Am I?
I was like, had heard nothing about it. Next thing, I rang my agent at the time. I was like, he's like, "I know what you're ringing for." I was like, "Blackpool?" And he was like, "Well, we've had a conversation." I was like, "I thought I signed a new contract here and staying to fight it out." And yeah, it was, I don't know what had happened at the time. And then I thought, listen, like, I want my own career in my hands.
Yeah.
I don't want to be, so I thought if there's a chance to go, good club, League One at the time, I thought, like, I'd like to have the career in my hands, so I'll go and play.
Yeah.
I could have waited round, and Wes maybe could have went, I could have signed a new deal, whatever could have happened, but I thought, if I'm playing, like, I'm in charge of myself.
Yeah, 100%.
So, yeah, I just went, right, well, yeah, I'll go.
Yeah, it makes sense. And then, obviously, St Mirren, we've played for so many of the same clubs, by the way.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're talking about this off air, but Scunthorpe, Blackpool, St Mirren, Cardiff.
Yeah.
Bloody mad, that.
I know.
You've had a much better career than me as well. St Mirren's some club, by the way, isn't it?
Yeah, that one was during COVID. Obviously, I was at Blackpool, and then I got injured. COVID came about in the March, and obviously the league's kind of stopped, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I didn't have a club, and I remember at the time I was like, "Do I wait till the summer when?" Because everyone didn't know their budget, because we didn't know what was going to happen. Everyone was like, "We don't know whether football's going to come back or anything like that." But I was out of contract in the summer, and I was like, it was such a weird place to be in. And Jim Goodwin rang me from St Mirren, and he said, "Listen, I know you're way better than us." And he said, "I think that, like, with what's going on," he says, "come here." He says, "We'll give you a 2-year deal." He says, "Do a year, do well, and get yourself off," sort of thing. And I looked at it, and I thought, I probably do need one more kind of, to establish myself.
Full season of games. Yeah.
And it was almost like a bit between my teeth because it didn't really work out at Rangers and I didn't really play. It was almost like I need to prove to people that I can play in Scotland, sort of thing, and show them what they're kind of missing. I was humming and hawing, do I do St Mirren and do I kind of wait out? And because I had done well at Blackpool and got injured, I was like, there could be something a little bit better. And I thought, listen, nobody knows what's going on. Like, I even thought I'll take the contract, and if football cancels, like, you still owed your money, sort of thing.
100%.
Like,
yeah, I didn't know what security.
I didn't know what to do at the time. And then, yeah, that turned out to be the best move for me. Great club, like you say.
It's a great little club.
Little family-run club. Yeah. Pitch is always decent.
Training ground's nice.
Yeah, and I don't know what you think about when you played in Scotland, but I find as a goalkeeper, it's quite nice games to play in.
100%. Because you go from 1 week you're playing against 50,000 fans.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even look at it as opposition. I look at it as grounds and fans.
Yeah.
Like, my time. And then, like, the next week it'll be a total different game.
Yeah.
You'd be coming for crosses, you'd be making saves.
Yeah.
And then you'd, like, the week after, again, you'd be playing, like, hearts away. It was hostile.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, you're just like, I couldn't experience this in one league in England at all. And then, like, again, the week after, you'd be, like, Ibrox away, front of like 40,000 fans, but you'd only have two game involvements, and you'd have let in two goals,
All
and
day.
Like, you wouldn't have touched a ball, and you're like, this is mental, this. But then you go back at home and you'd be like, right, let's tough this one out. We need a result against the ones that you need results against.
Yeah, Ross Counties and stuff. But I thought it gets a lot of stick, like the stand up there. I thought it was brilliant.
Unbelievable. I loved it.
Yeah, I thought, like, I think it's a brilliant shop window for goalkeepers as well, because you play against, like, your Celtics, your Rangers, your Hearts, your Hibs, stuff like that. And then also you show that you can dig in as well against, like, where you got to come for crosses. Like you say, every game's so different that, like, yeah, you can make 10 saves against Celtic, but can you come for crosses? And then you play against Ross County and you've got to come and take 10 crosses. Yeah. So I thought that league and different conditions up there, different stadiums, it does. I loved it. It brought you, like, the highs and the lows of, like, 50,000, 2,000, but... No, I love playing in Scotland.
I also think that the dressing rooms in Scotland are different.
Yeah.
I don't know. I always attribute it to the wage structure. See, like at St Mirren, like the top earner and the bottom earner, they're not a million miles between.
No.
So there's no arrogance. Yeah. There's no massive big time player or like is out of their depth.
No.
Even the ones that are on low value money still feel valued within a squad.
Yeah.
And I loved, like, that sort of aspect of the dressing room at St Mirren.
Yeah, no one really cared. And it was like you were playing with your mates sort of thing.
Yeah.
And even, like, lads that had in great, like, you know Ryan Flynn and stuff like that, had a great career. He was in that St Mirren dressing room. And it's like they almost know that for whatever reason, you're all at that club for one reason or another.
Exactly, yeah.
And I found that with Scotland. There was never one person that I'd say, oh, maybe he's not to speak to him anymore. It was unbelievable, that dressing room.
The social aspect of playing in Scotland's class, like going after training, going for coffees or going out like at the weekends with the boys and that. Just, I always found that the environment was such a positive one about being a team together.
Yeah.
You'd want to socialise more with those lads.
Yeah, and I think Scotland, because it's such a drinking culture and a football culture, that's it really. Yeah. It was so big up there. Even when you played for, like, St Mirren's and stuff like that, it was because, as well, you always had, like, lads in the dressing room who were either Celtic or Rangers stuff like that. So the banter that used to fly around that dressing room, they're amazing. But, yeah, I'd done 2 years up there.
Yeah.
And, again, it was one of them I just knew I had to play.
Yeah.
And it's weird. I go through my career and I'm kind of like, God, I've went, like, up, down, up, down, up, down. You don't know when you're really going to, like...
Yeah.
Be established. Yeah. And I remember someone said to me, like, you're so unlucky. And I'm like, no, I'm just still building my way. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes it takes goalkeepers 2 years. Like Pickford, it took him a couple of years on loan and he was already there.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes it takes till like 32-year-old where you're almost like, oh yeah, I'm there now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I always look at Martinez now that he was at Arsenal as a kid, had like loads of loans. None of them really worked out. Rotherham and Wolves.
No.
He weren't really establishing himself.
No.
And then he played the cup games for Arsenal.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, he's gone on to be a World Cup winner from playing a few cup games.
From nowhere, So I think St Mirren, I was in the form of my career. I think if I look back, I'd have probably had one or two bad games in 2 years. It was amazing. Even times where we got battered off Celtic 4s and 5s, I was getting man of the match and stuff like that. So
I remember at that time. So before you signed, Flinney used to phone me about every goalkeeper St Mirren signed.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, what do you think of Jack? And I sung your praises massively.
Yeah.
And within 2 weeks, he phoned me back and was like, you're fucking right.
Yeah.
He was like, he's class, unreal. Yeah. And then I still speak to Flinney to this day.
Yeah.
Constantly, he was like, you was right. Like, you're spot on.
He was great. He was actually brilliant for me. I love Flinney. Like, what a character. Little like training, like it didn't matter whether he was playing, like the career that he's had, like it didn't matter whether he was playing or not, he was like the best trainer every single day. And even when he wasn't, he'd run the most. But he used to help me quite a lot, because the amount of games he would come up to me like just after a game and go, won us another 3 points by that save. And like just them little things.
Nuggets,
and like sometimes he would sit down in the dressing room with me and go, like, I wonder how many points you've won us this season. He's like, I'd love to like look back. And you know, like lads like that, sometimes they just give you that little bit more confidence.
Yeah, 100%. Because even like then the next week, he'll come up to you before the game, so same again.
Yeah, the same again shout's the best, isn't it?
Like it is. It's just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I think you know when you've like done well, where like you shake all the lads' hand before a game, same again.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like, you kind of establish yourself, 100%. Do you know what I mean? So, St Mirren was... it was brilliant. 2 years and then kind of moved on to...
Right. Before we get on to Cardiff, I'm going to do my quiz then.
Yeah.
So goalie or no goalie? What's your goalie knowledge like?
Normally really good, but I struggle nowadays.
So I've actually changed yours as well. I'm doing MLS goalkeepers.
Okay.
Okay. Right. This is really funny. Because obviously you said that you was linked with the MLS a couple of years, and I didn't know this.
Yeah.
So that's funny. So I've got MLS characters, and then I've actually got 5 computer game characters.
Okay.
As the other ones.
Right.
So we can test your knowledge here. So it's goalie or no goalie.
Yeah.
1 point for each correct answer. So number one, Steve Clark.
I'm going to go no goalie.
He is a goalkeeper. He is the Houston Dynamo goalkeeper. 37 years old as well. I always get their age in if they're the same age as me.
Right. No, I would never get that.
Number two, Franklin Clinton.
Franklin Clinton. This is where I'm on a bit of a spiral cuff. I get two wrong straight away. I'm going to go no goalie.
He is not a goalkeeper. He is a GTA character, Franklin.
Franklin, yeah.
You play GTA? Remember,
yeah. Do you know what it is? When, now that you see it and you say Franklin.
100%. Yeah. Right, number three, Oliver Semmel.
I'm just trying to think. I do know a few MLS goalkeepers, but spelled with an
S-E-M-M-L-E.
I feel like I've seen his name, but I'm going to go no goalie.
He is a goalkeeper. German goalkeeper, plays for Philadelphia Union.
Yeah. Great name.
Yeah, Semmel. Right, number four, Trevor Phillips.
I feel like you've just went like a standard name to try and throw us off here.
I'm well within my rights to do that.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to go no goalie.
He is not a goalkeeper. Trevor from GTA.
Oh, yeah. Should I keep going GTA? Yeah.
I've got 5 GTA characters. See how well you know the game.
God.
Number five, Lester Crest.
I'm trying to think back to my GTA days now, but I haven't played it for about 15 years.
I've started replaying it. That's why I've done this.
Lester. I don't remember a Lester in GTA, so I'm going to go goalie.
He is a GTA character. Oh, Lester, the computer guy that arranges all the bank heists.
Yeah. Honestly, this is bringing back some memories now, isn't it?
I've started replaying it. I was like, this will be quite funny because I'm sure you would have played it.
I know.
Right, number six, Lamar Davis.
I'm going to go goalie on that.
It's Franklin's best mate, Lamar.
Oh, God. Honestly.
How good are the names? Yeah, they could be goalies.
Yeah, honestly, it's... I remember playing GTA, and it's one of them things where it sounds like a great goalie name.
It's a great goalie name.
Well,
yeah. Every single one of them is a great goalie name. Right, number seven, Chris Brady.
Gotta be an MLS goalie.
He's an MLS goalie, mate. God, I did 3 in a row of like GTA characters.
Yeah,
Chris Brady, Chicago Fire goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Number eight, Matthew Freeze.
I'm going to go goalie on that
he
as well.
He is a goalkeeper. He is the New York City goalkeeper.
Yeah.
On a roll now.
Yeah.
Number nine, Michael DeSanta.
Do you know when you're just trying to say the first names of the characters in GTA? I'm going to go goalie on that as well.
He is not a goalkeeper. Michael is the main character.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Do you know when you say the last name, it actually throws us off?
Michael, Franklin and Trevor, the main 3 characters.
It actually throws us off when you say the last name. If you just said Michael, I would have been like...
What a goalie name,
DeSanta
is. Yeah,
I know. Especially MLS, like a Mexican goalie coming over,
Right, and number 10, Tim Melia.
Goalie. I was going goalie.
Yeah, you had to then. 5 out of 10, mate. That's not too bad.
Yeah, I think MLS is... It's so tough because I know a lot of goalies, but then... Yeah, I think they change every year, don't they?
They do, yeah. See, like, I always find that, obviously, we were saying about Bondi at LA Galaxy.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't started this season.
Yeah.
And you're like, you end up, obviously, Lloris has gone out there. So, like, as a goalie, I'm a massive goalie in a few years. I follow goalies everywhere around the world. And I speak to goalies like in Australia and everything.
Yeah.
It's part of the show and I want them to be part of it. And obviously, I do MLS keepers. I was reading some of these, I was like, I wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah.
And then I've mixed that in with American names from GTA.
Yeah, I know, I was thinking
it's
that.
It's killed you there a little bit.
Nah, I'll take 5, as long as I'm not one or two.
You're not at the bottom, mate. Obviously, you moved to Cardiff. I want to talk a little bit about being at Cardiff.
Yeah.
Massive club again. Yeah. Like you said, like, you go to like a club, you establish yourself, and then you go to a massive club again.
I know, I feel like I've just been like up, down, but I feel like now's where I've almost like fully established myself. Yep. And this is the first time, like, I think my brother said it when he got to Bolton, like, it's almost like, yeah, this is it sort of thing. And you can actually see yourself being there, whether it's 5 years, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But what a club. It's, I mean, it's been through Premier League, back down, stuff like that. We obviously had like FIFA embargoes. We've had everything, but like this season's where we're sort of out in the embargoes, the squad's coming together. Last year, I think we had an overhaul of like 20 odd players.
Because when you signed, it was a very young squad, weren't it?
Yeah, I think because we could only sign frees and loans and stuff like that, it was just almost taking the best out. And Steve Morrison was the manager and he just wanted to play total football, which I thought was brilliant because wide lads came from League Two, me from Scotland, like all over the place. And I think that was the way to go. Yeah. Just it didn't quite work out. We didn't quite click with Steve Morrison, like as in we were playing well but weren't getting the results sort of thing. But it was weird how Cardiff actually came about. I wouldn't say they weren't interested because they were, but obviously, you know, Rich Lee quite well. He had Dylan at the time and Smithies was going.
Yep.
And he knew that they kind of weren't, like that Dylan might be leaving as well. And he rang Cardiff and just said, listen, Jack's available. We think you'd be a great one as like a fighter at 1-2, like you can get them done straight away. And then whether you want Dill to go or if you want them to fight out, and like at the time, like that's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
He so connects the dots brilliantly,
doesn't he? Yeah, he's the best at it. Because I think a lot of people, like when you speak about Rich, it's almost like he's got so many goalkeepers, like who's the priority? It's not, he knows everything. So he knows who's going where, who's coming out of where.
Yep.
That he can bridge every single gap. And that's kind of what he done for me. Obviously, I'd gotten the name for myself doing really well up in Scotland. But yeah, I got that done really early.
Sometimes, like obviously what Rich does, but it's the right time, the right place, and the right fit for each individual. And he just, like I was saying, connecting the dots. He knows that one's going to be leaving, so he's straight on the phone going, this one's perfect for you. This is what you're looking for.
Yeah.
So if he does go, you've got this one teed up.
Yeah.
And obviously, obviously Rich has got a lot of goalkeepers.
Yeah.
But the way that he manages to spin the plates and make sure that everyone's looked after and valued, and the amount of football he watches is just ridiculous.
Scary. He calls himself like the goalkeeping geek, doesn't
he? Yeah, he does. Yeah.
But he's also got time for every goalkeeper. He loves still talking about goalkeeping. I was voice noting him yesterday, stuff like that. He's got time for all of them. And yeah, he just connected the dots on that one. But yeah, it was kind of like I had, off the back of what I had done, it was kind of, I needed to find a way in the Championship because from Scotland, obviously, if you're coming from like a Rangers, Celtic, you'd probably just come into the Championship to play. But when you come from a St Mirren, it's kind of like, even though I've done so well, should you really come into the Championship to play? Because the standard's obviously different and stuff like that. So it was almost like I needed to get back down to England, but also I wasn't guaranteed to go in anywhere and play. So yeah, it was one of them that when they said Cardiff had came up, they said, listen, it'll be 1-2. We don't know. We don't know whether Dylan was staying. And obviously it ended up being Ryan Allsop coming in. And yeah, it was almost like a fight it out sort of situation, which I didn't mind. But yeah, it was the right time for a club like that, like Cardiff,
Obviously, like I was saying, you have now, you feel like, and I feel like you have firmly established yourself and that. But as is goalkeeping, constantly it changes, pitches change, and people get brought in to challenge you or take your place. It's just up to you to fight it out, really, and keep your place, isn't it?
Yeah, and I like having it in my own hands. Like last season, I think I played 5 or 6 games, which I was like, God, not playing again. Do you know what I mean? Like, do I need to go somewhere else and play? But then it's weird how quickly football can change. Like, I look at when I made my debut, Tim gets injured. I was meant to be leaving the club. Tim gets injured. Rob does his play. And then the start of this season, I was thinking, well, I'm not going to be playing. Is it time to move on? While my kind of stock's high.
Still high,
And I thought, yeah, probably is. And then I'd done pre-season. Looked like Ryan Allsop was going to play. And I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll give it the first couple of games. Because you know what pre-season's like? You know from what games you're playing.
Yeah, 100%. You know how it's geared to that final game of pre-season.
He didn't really do that. So it was kind of like we went away to Portugal and I was captain and played against Braga, but then Ryan also played against Porto, so we didn't really know who was playing. And he played the last pre-season game we played in, it was a testimonial against Wickham. Jackson, the boy Jackson, is it?
Yeah.
I think it was Jackson anyway. But we played in that game and Rocky done his calf in the game. Last pre-season game, I came on second half kind of, and I thought, well, is he going to be fit? It was one of them touch and go, and he wasn't. And I ended up playing Leeds' first game of the season, had a worldie, and sort of had three, four like unbelievable games. And they just said, yeah, we're going to offer you a new contract straight away. And Ryan Allsop was like kind of, he's going and Alex Runnison's coming in. But I'm like, just something like that, like a small calf injury, like, if that doesn't happen,
you don't, might not get your new deal. You might not establish yourself.
Yeah, like where would I be? Because I would have probably tried to move on, if I'm honest. Because
sounds like it was you or Ryan.
Yeah, basically it was going to be one of us moving on. But by him just getting a little bit of a calf injury, I play five games, new contract comes, and then play like 25 games a season. It's crazy how quick things change in football. Yeah. You feel like you're the unluckiest.
Yeah, yeah.
And then something like this happens. So, nah, it's been. I love the place down Cardiff. I'm obviously there this year and next year, like guaranteed.
Yeah.
And yeah, as I say, it's taken until 30 where I feel like established, and yep. I feel like I've got my all my games in that I need to. I've played Scotland, League One, Premier League, and now it's like Championship.
You've moved around as well, travelling. It's not easy. What people don't realise is moving house, living in hotels, that ain't easy. So to now you feel settled and established, it makes you play better because you're happier.
Of course it does. I think I counted the other day and it was like in 8 years or 9 years I had lived in something like 20 houses.
I mean, like, how can anybody in any walk of life, let alone football, get the best out of themselves when that's the situation?
Yeah, it was. And I think you're moving around, like, you're never really settled. And I think as a goalkeeper, like, you know, you're not going to, you go somewhere for a year where you think, I just need to get games, but you know you're going to be off.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, to kind of get down there and get like real settled, it's almost like you can relax a little bit more and you enjoy your football a little bit more.
It's a good place to live as well.
Yeah, to me, it's just so far from everything, but yeah, like every away game is an overnight stay.
Yeah.
But no, what a city, what a place. It's such a good club as well. It's kind of, you can see this season that we started off unbelievable. We had a few injuries, we've dropped off a little bit. But you can see like the progression of the club, and if I can be a part of that, it's going to be unbelievable. Yeah,
and obviously your old man will be just looking for the away games because the home games are too far.
Yeah, that's literally all he does. Every away game he goes to, like my brother, he doesn't go to the games, and he doesn't even watch my games. He's like, I was the same when he played. Like, we can't watch each other's games.
I bet it's weird. Yeah.
No, it's like I'm so nervous watching him play,
really?
And he's the same with me. Whereas, like, when we play, we weren't nervous, do you know what I mean?
Bizarre,
so we actually couldn't watch each other play.
Yeah.
But, yeah, my dad, he obviously travels to the away games and stuff like that. But yeah, my brother, he's out of football now and he's, like, loving doesn't watch life, it, yeah.
Right, I want to talk a little bit about the goalkeeper, that geeky stuff. So currently you're in the one glove.
Yeah.
How long have you been with one glove?
So it was through Rob Elliott. So it was when I was at Newcastle.
You've been with them for ages. I only remember you wearing them, yeah.
9 years. At the time, I remember because I was on the bench at Newcastle and I had a pair of Puma gloves that I had bought from Sports Direct.
No way.
Couldn't get any gloves from anyone. It was so... And then, Rob and Miles brought the one glove and they were like, would you... And I would have took anything for free.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was about them. I don't know. Like, I like the curved palm and stuff like that. They just... No, when you know about a glove, I was just like, they're the ones.
Yeah, and they were free.
Yeah, basically anything I could get my hands on. I was also marigolds at the time.
The one glove has just gone from strength to strength to strength. And like in what's such a competitive market, they've managed to really establish themselves.
Yeah.
Obviously, it helps when they've got like David Raya and stuff like that now. But again, similar to like yourself, they would have picked up keepers from low. Like David Raya was like out on loan, I think, at Southport when they signed him at the one glove. So... To stick with someone like that is incredible.
Yeah, as I say, I just like they're the type of glove that I loved at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, they started from nothing and they've just, I think they've stayed loyal. People stayed loyal to them, but as well, they're kind of like a great brand because they're not the prices of Adidas, yeah, Nike, that are like fortunes, yeah, now, which like, so like a lot of young kids love the one glove.
Yeah, of course.
But no, for me, but once I get a glove, like I don't like to change it. Yeah. And Miles knows me by now and I can only wear white gloves.
Yeah, white gloves. Yeah. Right, what size are you?
I'm a 9.
And you wear, they're like a hybrid cut, aren't they?
Yeah, they're almost like a half a roll type thing. I've kind of never changed the palm for years now. I'm not a fan of negative cut, anything like that, just that sort of...
How do you get the plastic off?
Honestly, it's like, I go for a little bite at times.
The bane of your life, isn't it?
Oh, you take a tiny little bit of foam off and you're like, oh, I have to start again, but yeah.
You feel like you've ruined them when you pinch them too much, don't you?
Yeah, because as well, I sometimes wear new pairs for a game.
Yep.
So I'll like go into a warm-up and like before a game, I'm like...
Sat there for 10, 20 minutes.
Taking the plastic off. I don't know what it is. I love the... I know a lot of goalkeepers don't like the new feel of gloves, but like, because I send the game, it's a parry thing. I like that. Know how new gloves fit?
Yep.
Like they're so tight and snug that I'm like, yeah, I love them in a game.
See, like my hands are big. Like I wear like a size 10 and a half or 11.
Yeah.
But when I start washing a pair of gloves, I'm like, they're too baggy.
Yeah.
Man. So like you lose that like new
the
glove
shape,
feel.
Yeah, the shape type.
So then like I've now started just trying to wash the palms.
Yeah.
Because it frustrates me how a glove starts to go baggy.
Yeah.
I don't get through a lot of gloves anymore. I don't need a lot of gloves.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, latex is still unreal, but they're getting baggier because I'm washing them.
Yeah, yeah.
It does my head in.
I know. I go through quite a few because, do you know, like away trips and stuff, yeah, like that, because we're overnight and like, I'll wash them after a game and like they come back and it's like, oh, my glove's back from the like getting dried and, yeah, stuff like that. Like it takes a few days and stuff. But no, these one gloves, I love them because I feel like I can wear them like, yeah, straight out of the packet.
Have you got any weird superstitions you do with them? How you look after them or anything?
Nah, not really. I would say I'll wash them like after most training sessions and stuff like that. But do you know when they're like almost fully gone, like I'll give them to the wash and stick them in the washing machine and stuff like that. Yeah. And I get them to wash them with like just like the stuff they wash the kit with and they actually come out a little bit sticky and you get like a couple more uses out of them and stuff like that. But nah, no real superstitions with them, to be honest.
No?
Nah.
Why white gloves then?
I think I wore black gloves once, and do you know when it was? It was when Paul Robinson wore the black Nikes, do you remember? Nikes, yeah. And I think he had a beast at the time.
The Zooms, or Total 90 Zooms or whatever.
Yeah, I think he went to the black gloves and he had a couple of bad games or something like that. Yeah. So I tried them and I had the biggest beast ever. Did and you? I was like, do you know when it just sticks where you're like, I'm never wearing black gloves
again.
See,
look, I've tried them in training and that a few times and your hands feel tiny.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, like, I don't know. When I wear black boots, I feel slower and I can't jump as high.
Yeah.
So like when I've got white mitts on and white boots on, I feel like I'm like, yeah, I'm on it here.
Yeah, I always say like white boots and white gloves get you a move. Do you know what I mean? It's weird. I look at a goalkeeper.
Catches the eye.
And if a goalkeeper has his shirt tucked in, black boots, black gloves, it's almost like it doesn't catch your eye as much, which back when you were younger, you got told, oh, you don't want to be catching the eye, you just want to do your job and
keep
stuff
a quiet
like.
Goal.
Yeah, whereas now I think it's changed so much that you want to look like you're the part as well. But yeah, I'm white gloves and predominantly white boots, but they're hard to get hold of now.
They are now, aren't they? Especially studs.
Yeah,
like, Adidas have stopped doing white boots and studs. They just do moulds. So then you have to get them converted, but I don't really like the Converse.
Nah, see, I've always been Nike with boots. I can't wear like Adidas and stuff like that. But Nike keep changing for strikers and stuff like that, don't they?
How do you typically prepare for a match, Jack? You got like routines that you go through.
As in before the game?
Yeah, like on the day of a game, like what's your usual?
So I'm normally, I'll always take the dogs for a walk in the morning and I feel like just getting up fresh air, like I'll take them for 45 minutes, stuff like that. And like I've got this weird thing of like when I'm walking, I'll try and concentrate on things.
Visualisation stuff?
No, I'll kind of like stare at stuff. So like I'll be walking up the same post and I'll stare. I just get my eyes kind of, I don't know why I do it, but I remember I'd done it once where I was like, I was walking, I was a bit tired and you know what you're like, where you're like, you just do your walk and you get back. So I like try and concentrate on little things. Yeah. Like I don't eat any pre-match whatsoever.
You don't eat any pre-match?
Not
you
a single thing.
On a day of a game?
Not a
you
single
like to
thing.
Feel proper light?
Me and my brother exactly the same.
Yeah. I remember Ben used to be like that.
Yeah, don't eat a single thing. I'll have a coffee on the way into the stadium. I'll nip to Starbucks, get a coffee. And then, I like to get in real early. So if we're... 3 o'clock kickoff, you're normally in for what, half one? I'm normally in at 12 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm half 12. I'm always an hour before any eating time.
Yeah, I'm like probably latest half 12.
fear of being late, or is that just you like quiet time at the stadium?
I think a bit of both. Like, have you ever had the goalie nightmares?
100%. Yeah. We all have.
Honestly, we talk about it, but like...
Game kicks off and you're still not ready.
Yeah, you're still outside the stadium. You're trying to get in and you can't get in and stuff.
Do you know who always put us onto that is Lee Butler.
Yeah.
He always used to talk about the dream that he had, and the game was kicking off and he was running out, trying to put his gloves on as it kicked off.
Yeah. Every goalkeeper gets some, like, and if you don't get them, you're not a goalkeeper. Yeah, no, but it's like the one where you, like, you can't get your boots on and stuff like that. So I don't know if it comes from that, but also I'm, like, anyone you speak to, I'm quite laid back. So I like just to get in and take my time. I don't like to be rushed or anything like that. Like, see when you go to away games and, like, you're 10 minutes late or something like that and you think, I've got, like... Because I go out, I don't know if you're the same. Do you still go out an hour before kickoff?
Yeah, but then I come in, like, 25 minutes before kickoff.
Yeah.
So I like that time, that 10, 15 minutes when there's no one in the dressing room.
Yeah. So So we'll be the same. We'll go out at 2 o'clock. So normally you'd get to a stadium at 20 past one, half past one. See, when you get there at 22, I'm like, oh, I've got my strap in. Oh, I've got to do this, got to do that. I hate being rushed.
Yeah. I'm the same. That's what I'm exactly
Yeah, so I like to get there nice and early. And then once I'm there, I've got no real rituals, anything like that. I'm quite... As a goalkeeper, I'm not really like superstitious or anything like
just
that.
Just go through your usual routines and stuff like that.
Yeah, almost, yeah, little routines. I don't even mind changing little bits of my warm-up at times and stuff like that. But yeah, it's normal match day routines. Yeah. Nothing out of the ordinary for me, I wouldn't say nah.
Just nice and chilled. That's the best way, I think, honestly. Like, because I know he jokes about before about keeping a quiet goal, but like when you're calm and you're more imposing for your defenders and then they know what to expect from you. It's like a level of consistency.
Yeah.
So like, obviously us going in early and sitting there and chilling out, it's like you want to be the one that goes, morning lads, you're right, morning lads. And then you don't have to say a lot of words, but they know that you're there as a character and a person.
And the calm and influence.
100%.
Yeah, I find there has been games where I've been like a bit up for like, come on lads, blah, blah. And like, I've not had a great game. And it's weird. I do think that calming thing. And it's weird because we've just played against Watford a few weeks ago where we won 1-0. And I was like seriously ill before the game. Like, I didn't even do the warm up properly. Yeah. Like,
yourself to yourself.
No, I couldn't even, like, I was like, I can't play. But we only had a young lad on the bench at the time. He had never, he's only played Welsh Prem type of thing. And like, they were like, can you get through? I was like, felt like I was going to pass out. Like, I felt horrible. And I'd done no warm-up. I literally caught 10 volleys and I felt like I was going to be sick, everything like that. Walked out onto the pitch. Like, I was like, I'm not going to get through this game. I had an unbelievable game. And it was just because, I think because like, I was so calm and like, you kind of got nothing to lose. You're like, true, I'm ill kind of thing. But like, it's weird because after that game, I've started to do a little bit less of my warm-up because I'm like, even like it was weird when the ball was getting switched, normally I'd like jog across, like to get across. Whereas in the Watford game, I was just like, oh, walk across. Like, and it's weird. I felt like I was picking the ball up better and stuff like that. Like,
maybe just focusing more instead of trying to do multiple jobs. You was just going, I'm just going to affect these moments.
Yeah. And it's weird. It's something that I picked up because like, when the ball's getting cleared, sometimes I sprint up behind the ball and stuff like that. Whereas like, I think just that game of me just walking, it almost like slowed the game down. I felt like I seen a little bit more. Yeah. It's like how I see Alisson play the game. He's very just like, just walks about.
He's not interested a lot.
Yeah. And I feel like that can be a big thing in football. So, yeah.
Class. Right. What's your release away from football?
Golf. Yeah big golf. Still, we've played, haven't we?
We have played, yeah. You're a big slinger as well, weren't you?
Yeah, I've got the shortest backswing ever.
Yeah, you have.
But just consistent down the middle.
Your brother was a good golfer as well.
Yeah, well, we both play. It's weird how similar we are with everything, like football, golf. We play off the same handicap, but as soon as I can get up north, I kind of get 2-3 games of golf in on my days off and stuff like that. But yeah, golf's the biggest race.
Who's got a better beard and trim out of you and your brother?
Him at the minute. Cause, I need a little bit of a trim, but he's... He's got the old transplant on the... He's got the hair transplant
done. Has he done it?
So,
fair play, go on.
So I'll give him the hair, but I'll take the beard at the minute.
Yeah, fair play. Now, obviously, I've played with you and your brother golf. Both good golfers, like, solid.
Yeah.
But even like I was saying about, like, the North being a little bit of a hotbed, like, Gaz was not a bad golfer.
Yeah.
Erratic and angry.
Yeah.
But obviously, There's just something in the genes up there.
Yeah, because there's nothing else to do. Do you know what? Yeah. It's weird.
Like, you're either in trouble or you're playing sports.
Yeah,
there.
Down south, like, obviously, you come here today, you can literally do anything you want, whereas up north, you're probably sports or going out and getting in trouble, and ours was sports. So, and you know Gaz as well as I know, I'm pleased he plays golf. Yeah. That's all I'll say, but...
Hopefully Gaz is in the right direction, man. Christ.
Yeah, but no, it's...
What a fella.
Yeah, I think... We've had some great rounds of golf, funny laughs and stuff like that. But yeah, it's weird how me and my brother are so similar but so polar opposites. Like, he's probably more angry than me, I'm more calm, but like how we're so similar and we're like the same things because we didn't really, when he moved to Tottenham, we didn't really speak for years, like just because he was away all the time and stuff like that. But no, there's the advice and stuff he's given me, it's such a good thing for me to have. Whether it's like off the pitch advice, like investments, whatever, like he's made so many mistakes and done so many things that it's such a good thing for me to have.
No, it's amazing. And obviously having played with you both, but obviously working with you, Jack, it's such a pleasure for even for me to say like how well you've done and kicked on and you keep on developing and growing as a goalkeeper and that. And I'm buzzing to see you do well.
Appreciate it.
Right, last question then. What does the Goalkeepers Union mean to you? It's always a deep one to finish on, mate.
It is, yeah. Do you know what it is? I think you realise the goalkeeper union when... Do you know sometimes like you'll have worked with maybe a goalkeeper that's like kind of not being involved and like you train with them and you're a bit like... It can be difficult, do you know what I mean? And then when you get a good group of goalies, like how good can it be? Like you say with my brother, like whether it's head tennis, football, golf, like even just like after games, like talking about things, like goals, because... No one else is going to back you up. It's almost like everybody hates goalkeepers.
there's no one else that understands us apart from each other.
Yeah.
And even though that we want each other's place, we still want the best for each other. It's mad.
And you respect each other so much. And it's weird. I was talking to my brother about it, like, because you two were competing so much at Bolton. Like, he played a lot. Then you came in and then he came back in. And... But he said, like, the amount of respect I had for Chomp, he said, I used to watch Chomp and train and be like, I have to try. And, like, he said, he was an unbelievable trainer.
Yeah,
like,
I used to do, but I still do all the shooting practices. I still, like, Ben wasn't the same. So then, like, even I would be playing on a Saturday and I'd be doing all the shooting drills and Ben would be going, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, this is what I need.
Yeah.
And he'd feel well guilty.
Yeah, and he'd have to try and jump in. But it's weird how so many goalkeepers are different like that. Like, Tim Crew was a terrible trainer.
Yeah.
But the best I've ever seen on a Saturday.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Rob Elliott was the best trainer I've ever had. And I was lucky at the time. I had Shea Given, Steve Harper, Fraser Foster and Tim Krul. And you couldn't get four different goalkeepers.
No, they were miles, polar opposites.
Yeah. But like, even then I seen like, that was the start of a goalkeeper union because they were all should be number ones in the Premier League. And they were all obviously at different stages. But... yeah, the goalkeeper union, it's one of them. Like you say, you can talk to them after a game. Like, for me, it's good that I can ring my brother and he's played in goal.
Yeah.
But just that, like, little things, like, people think, oh, it only took a tiny little deflection, you should save it. And I'm like, they're actually the harder ones. Like, when it takes a big deflection, you can get after it. But the one that, like, just moves here, it does you, but people don't, like, understand these sort of things.
Well, they wouldn't have seen it.
No. So I think it's... when you get a good goalkeeping like group, it can be so fun. Because like, even though when you're not playing, like you want to go in and enjoy it.
Yep.
And you know what it's like when you're not playing, it's like, oh, I've got to train. Like when you've got a good goalie group and stuff like that, it's ledge, isn't it?
Yeah, it's unreal. Yeah. Right, Jack, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate. Thank you very much for coming on. It's been class, mate.
No, I've absolutely loved
class
it.
Class to catch up and that. And I appreciate the effort of you coming across from Cardiff to London.
No worries at all.
This has been the Yours, Mine, Away podcast with me, Mark Howard. Please make sure you like, follow and subscribe. Cheers, guys.
Save from Mark Howard.